Bibles this morning, going to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, I have one verse I want to read to start with. So Romans chapter 1, looking at verse number 16. So Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16, the Bible says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Father, we do thank you again for the day that you've given us, Lord. We do ask for your blessing upon this hour. And Father, we ask that you bless the reading of your word, as Father, it is your word. It's not man's word. And Father, your word is supposed to be a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, giving us direction in our life, showing us where we're at, where you would have us to go. And Father, you're the one that travels with us along life's journey. Father, you're that friend that sticks closer than a brother. And Father, you're the one that has begun the good work in each of us, and you said you would finish that good work. And Father, we just ask that you would, Father, bless our time. We ask that you bless the children. Father, we ask that you bless the baptism to come. Father, even the songs that we have sung, Lord, speak of, Lord, they speak of your goodness. They speak of your grace and your love. They speak of a relationship with a holy God who, Lord, does care about the affairs of men, that does care about individual lives and bringing joy and peace and contentment and completeness into a person's life. And Father, we do thank you, Lord, for your grace and love that you bestow upon us every day. And Father, we just ask that you would, Lord, you establish our thoughts, help us, Lord, to be focused. I pray that you take away all distractions, that we would not be distracted in our own minds, noises, or anything, Father, that we would just listen intently as you speak to our hearts. And we do ask that the Holy Spirit would guide us according to your will, as he's the comforter and he's the teacher and the guide. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. This morning I want to talk to us about the power of God. And as Paul writes to the believers at Rome, he makes this statement in verse number 16. He says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." And we're going to look at what the gospel of Christ is. But then he goes on to say, "For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." I am glad that we serve a God who loves all people. A God who is not just a respecter of persons. He doesn't just respect one race over another. He loves all. And he is the Savior of the world. He says there's not a Jew or a Gentile that cannot be saved if they'll put their faith and trust in him. It is. We're going to see several things about the power of God, how God's word is powerful, and how God's grace is powerful, his love is powerful, his gospel is powerful, and how it all changes our life and helps us to draw nearer to him. So as he says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." First thing I want you to think about this morning is what John said in John chapter 1 in regards to God's word being powerful. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything that was made. God created all things, and Jesus Christ being the Word." Jesus Christ holds everything together. Not only does he hold this universe together and hold every creature together and everything together, but he is the one that wants to hold your life and my life together. Have you ever felt like your life was unraveling or your life was out of control? He's the one that can bring peace and contentment and completeness into your life and mine as well. Take your Bibles and go to Genesis chapter 1, because John said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made." I just want to take a few moments and look at Genesis chapter 1 and the power of God's Word. "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said," and Just take note every time you hear and read, God said, let there be. Because this is God's word. This is his spoken words. He speaks things into existence. Believe me, I wish there were times I could speak things into existence. But we can't. But God did. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself, upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Just in those first 25 verses, we see the power of God's word. Now, it takes faith to believe that there is a creator that you've never seen. And I believe it takes more faith to believe in evolution or anything else this world may teach, because it takes a designer. When you look at the earth and you look at the universe and you look at just the vastness of creation and nature, there has to be a designer. All of this could not just happen by chance. And here we see in the beginning was God, and God created the heaven and earth, and God spoke with the power of his word things into existence. Now you want to talk about power again. There's power in the word. Our words can either tear somebody down or build somebody up. Our word can discourage somebody or encourage somebody. Our words let somebody know if we love them or hate them. God's word is so powerful that he created the world and everything that exists in this world, and yet by the same word, you and I feel his presence in our life. We feel his love, his peace. But I want you to notice, he did not speak man into existence. His word is powerful, so powerful he could just create things out of nothing. But when he came to mankind, he did not speak mankind into existence, but by the power of his breath, he gave life after molding man out of the dust of the ground. When you look at verse 26 and 27 of Genesis chapter 1, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now, how did God do this? He did not say, like he had said other times. In other times, he said, let there be. And something came forth. Here, he didn't say, let there be man. But he said, let us make man in our image. Speaking to himself, the Father, the Son, the Spirit. Those three that make up the triune God. And that'll be later. But when you think about God said, let us make man our image, male and female. Well, in chapter 2 and verse 7 reveals how he did it. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. You understand, when a person dies, their body decomposes, their body goes back to the original natural state, dust. But there's something different about men and women. There's something different about mankind that's completely separated from the animal kingdom. In verse 7, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. With his own hands, he formed a shell. He formed a body, a lifeless body. He goes on, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. His word is powerful that he could create anything, but when it came to mankind, he formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed life into that lifeless body, and that lifeless body became alive, and he had a living soul. The breath of God is so powerful that it gives life. His word is so powerful that it shows us that he's the giver of life. You understand this morning that God's given us emotions, love and joy and happiness and sadness and all the others that we experience at different times. He's given us our five senses, hearing and seeing and smelling and touching and tasting. And we enjoy life. We enjoy things with those senses, and we enjoy feeling loved and having joy in our life and happiness. Those are emotions that we enjoy. Some of the other emotions, you know, sadness. Sometimes there's always a rainbow after the storm. But we enjoy all these things. God's given us a life to enjoy. And by the power of his breath, he's given us a living soul. But something happened. God created a beautiful earth for us to inhabit and to enjoy. But sin has marred our planet and lives with hatred and jealousy and envy and bitterness and murderous thoughts and murders themselves and so much more sinfulness in this world that God did not intend for this world to have. He did not intend for us to go through the emotions that we go through and through the difficulties of life, but because of sin in this world, we experience a roller coaster life. And sin has separated us from a heavenly Father, from a holy God, from a loving Father. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death. For there's not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. But the wonderful thing about God is where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. You understand, the most upright, moral person is still a sinner, still in need of a Savior. God gave them life and gave them a living soul that he would die for and shed his blood for, so that the sin would be paid for, so they could experience the grace of God and the love of God and a new life in Christ. But even though sin has marred our planet and has marred the lives of people, yet God's grace abounds more than sin. Just look with me at Romans chapter 5 as we think about the power of God's grace. In Romans chapter 5, we see God's grace is so powerful. God's grace is available to any person that desires to have eternal life, desires to have a peace that passeth all understanding, a desire to have joy in their life, that nothing can destroy that joy. Because the joy and the peace is based in Jesus Christ. But his grace is so powerful that the Bible says in Romans 5, verse 17, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." Adam and Eve, the first man, the first woman on this planet, they were without sin. They were sinless. Until the adversary came into that beautiful, perfect garden that God had created and had put them in. And the deceiver came and deceived them, got them to question what God had promised. And as they disobeyed God and ate that forbidden fruit, sin entered into the world by disobedience. God had told them, you can have all the fruit-bearing trees, all the herb-bearing trees, you can have it all except for one. Just don't touch or eat this one fruit. Just one. You know, we live in a world that has more than one rule. You know, in my household, we have more than one rule. I know growing up, there was more than one rule that I had to obey my parents in. Just life has rules. But God only designed there to be one, and that was to love Him with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your body, by just believing and trusting what He said. But because of sin, death passed upon all. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. You understand this morning that Jesus Christ has all power. He has all power. His power is limitless. His grace is so powerful that His grace covers all of our sin. When we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and His bloodshed and His sacrifice, because the wages of sin is death, and yet you and I could not die for our own sins, you and I cannot reconcile ourselves to God, yet because of God's grace and love, He has reconciled us unto Him. He has paid the debt that we could not pay. Now, sometimes, I know in a time in my life, I thought that God could not forgive me and God could not save me. But God showed me that His grace is more powerful than any sin I've ever committed. Many times you may hear someone talk about the unpardonable sin. The only unpardonable sin there is that would keep someone from going to heaven is denying Jesus Christ into their life, denying that He is the Son of God who came because of His love and died for your sin and my sin so that you and I would have a place in eternity, because this life that we're living is not it. When this life that I know and I'm living is done and over, I will be more alive than ever before as I enter into eternity, as those who have gone on before us have entered into eternity. But because God's grace is so powerful, His grace abounds more than sin abounds, we see that His love is powerful. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Now, I'm sure there's probably been times in your life, as there was in mine, where you didn't love somebody the way you should, and you kind of hoped that they would just, you know, bite the bullet, kick the bucket, and just leave this world so you don't have to see them or deal with them any longer. That's not the way God is. God's not willing that any should perish, but all would come to repentance. His love is so powerful that His love led Him to the cross of Calvary. His love led Him off His throne to robe Himself in flesh to live a sinless life for people who could not live a sinless life and pay their own way to heaven so that we would put our faith and trust in Him. You know what it's like to be loved. You know what it's like to experience the love of somebody else and how that makes you feel. Makes you feel important, makes you feel valuable, makes you feel like, wow, they really do care about me. You know, as a father, there's not much I wouldn't do for my own children. And if you're a parent, there's things you wouldn't do. You know, as a parent, you know, you would hazard your life for your child if they were in danger. If you saw them in the middle of the road and a car coming, you would do everything you could to run to them and push them out of the way. You think about our Heavenly Father. You think about Jesus Christ because of His love. His love is what led Him to die, to rise again, and to be seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and me, working in our hearts, drawing us unto Him, showing us our needs, showing us that, you know what, if I want true joy and peace, I can only find it in the Prince of Peace. I can only find it in the true source of joy. So many people are looking for hope today. But you know what? Our hope is only as strong as the source. What is your hope in this morning? At some point, that source that you have your hope in, if it's something in this world, it will fail you at some point. It won't be available at some point. But as you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's a hope that never fails. Because my hope is in the one who's faithful, the one who never fails, the one who has all power, the one who loves me to the uttermost. What is it that would separate us from the love of God as a child of God? Is there anything that could separate me from God's love if I've put my faith and trust in Him? And the Bible tells us in Romans 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Can anything in my life, anything I face, any tragedy that happens, can it separate me from God's love? As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded, Paul says, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You understand, God's love was manifested through Jesus Christ. One of the disciples of Jesus at the time that Jesus was walking on this earth asked Him, show us the Father and it would suffice us. It will please us if you show us the Father. Because Philip had been walking with the Lord. He had seen the miracles. He had heard His word. He knew He was the Son of God. He knew He was the promised Messiah. And Jesus said, Philip, have you been so long time with me? Have you been walking this long and you haven't seen the Father? Because everything Jesus did showed the Father. Jesus Christ was the express image of the Father, His love that He had upon people, His compassion. When the people would cry out that the law condemned her to die, Jesus would show grace. When others would not help a blind man or a man that had a disease of leprosy, yet the Bible records that Jesus laid His hands upon the man with that disease and healed him. He had love and compassion for people. His love is what brought Him to this earth, and His love is what led Him to that cross. And His love for you is what continues to give you each day of your life. Every day you and I wake up is another gift from God. Another day to experience His love. Another day to experience His grace and His goodness in our life. Another day for you and I to find out who God is. To find out why He cares so much about me. His love is so powerful that nothing can keep Him from loving you. Now listen, just because you may be saved this morning, already trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're not perfect. I'm not perfect. We make mistakes. But yet we have a loving Heavenly Father whose love is so strong. His love convicts our heart about His grace. And His word is so powerful that in His word He reminds us that He is sovereign, that He's in control, and that He has given us a life that has purpose and meaning, and He wants to be a part of that life. There's things in your life that you've enjoyed, that you've shared it with somebody else. This coming January, I'll be celebrating my 30th wedding anniversary. And in 30 years, the Lord has given me 10 children and one grandson. But He's given me 34 years with a wonderful woman. We met when we were 15 in the ninth grade, and we've been together ever since. And I can tell you, every day has grown sweeter and sweeter. There's been ups and downs. Life has difficulties. Life has joys. But as I reflect back on these years, I think, wow, you know, the Lord really has blessed me with such a wonderful wife who remained faithful to me, who's been a help to me, who's been an encouragement to me. And many times she's been my nurse to take care of me when I'm sick. She always knows how to get to my heart. It's through my stomach and just making things that are nice, things that I like. You understand that the goodness of God, the love of God, and the grace of God is often expressed through the lives of other people. Because God says in His Word, a man that finds a wife finds favor with God. God has given us such wonderful relationships. I understand not all marriages are wonderful. But I want you to understand the comparison, though. Because as a child of God, you're the bride of Christ. There's a relationship that you have been brought into by Jesus Christ. There's a relationship that Jesus wants to share His love, His grace, His goodness. He wants to be the one that you count on, the one that you always look to, the one that you ask for guidance and for help. He's the one that wants to be there for you because He sees your entire life from beginning to end, and He knows how to navigate us through it. He knows how to guide our steps as the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. This God that has all power, Jesus Christ, wants to be the one that your life is built upon. He wants to bless your life. He wants you to experience His love and His grace. This God that has all this power, I want you to notice that His gospel is powerful, as He tells us back in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. He says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation." God's gospel is powerful because His word says, "For the wages of sin is death," but understand, the wages of sin is death. Every person is doomed to die. Every person is doomed to be separated from a loving Heavenly Father because of sin, and wages is the payment. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Everybody loves to get gifts. I love getting gifts. I love getting gifts even when I'm not expecting it. I mean, everyone has a birthday, and we're used to people giving us gifts on our birthdays, and we kind of anticipate it and even think, oh, I hope they were listening when the past week I've been telling them things I want, kind of giving hints. But we all love getting presents on our birthdays, Christmas. Again, when someone just, you know, wants to give you a gift because they were just thinking about you. And God has the greatest gift, because it's not only a gift that He gives, but it's a gift that keeps on giving. This gift of eternal life, this gift of salvation, it's God's gift, because the gospel of Christ is powerful. You know, like I've already been saying it, Jesus died for our sins. He took our place on the cross of Calvary. He became sin who knew no sin. And then He died. He gave up the ghost, the Bible tells us. He cried out, "It is finished," when all the sin of mankind was poured out upon Him, as He was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He was God's sacrifice for you and for me because of God's powerful love for you. And God has this gift for everybody that will take it, this gift of eternal life. The Bible says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom are a payment for all, to be testified in due time. And I testify of the Lord this morning that He loves you so much that He wants your life to be changed by His power. He wants your life to be changed by His grace and His love that's through Jesus Christ. The Bible says He is the propitiation for our sins. He's the substitute. He's the sacrifice. He's the payment for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Again, He didn't die for a select few. He didn't die for good, upright, moral people. He died for sinners, which are all people. Jesus even said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I came not to heal the righteous. He said, I came to heal those that were in need of a physician, lives that were broken, lives that needed to be mended, hearts that were broken, hearts that needed to be mended and encouraged and filled with love and grace. The Bible tells us in Romans 10 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You know, whatever we believe or don't believe never changes the truth. The truth is the truth. I'm often reminded that, you know, somebody may say, I don't believe in gravity. I'm going to jump off this building and prove there is no gravity. Does their unbelief in gravity change the truth that gravity exists? And they will plummet to their injury if they jump off that building? The truth is that God's love for you and for me is so powerful that He wants to change your life. He wants to give you hope. He wants to bring joy and peace into your life. He wants you to know that your sins have been paid for, but you have to receive the gift that He extends to you. And He says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, because no man's ever risen from the dead. By Jesus rising from the dead proves He's God, He's the giver of life, proves that He has power over death. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you have your Bibles open, if you'd quickly turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 15. 2 Corinthians. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5 and looking at verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You know, sometimes in life we're looking for something new. We're looking for something to change our life because we're not happy with where we're at. We're not happy with the life that we have. And yet God says that when we receive His gift and we take that gift that He freely extends to us, that gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, He says we become new creatures. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. There's a new outlook on life. There's a new joy that you can't explain because God's bringing a new joy, a new perspective in your life. There's a peace that passes all understanding. Now you see life differently. Just as Paul saw life differently and said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Again, there's not a single person that Jesus didn't die for. There's not a single person He doesn't love. There's not a single person He does not want to come into their life and fellowship with them and abide with them and change their life from the inside out. We're told in Romans 15 and verse 13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, God the Holy Spirit. You know, it was God's plan all along to send Jesus Christ to die for you. And the Son fulfilled the Father's will by willingly laying down his life on that cruel cross, allowing himself to be beaten, scourged, mocked, nailed to a cross. And when the Son of God rose from that grave, getting victory for us over death and hell and the grave, God sent his Spirit to indwell every believer, to guide us through this life, for the fruit of the Spirit to bear out in our life, the love, the joy, the peace, the meekness, the long-suffering, the temperance. What an amazing thing it is to have the Spirit of God dwelling in you, to guide you through this life, to help you understand things in your life, to help you, you know, when you're all alone and it seems like nobody cares, no one's there for you, that the Spirit of God on the inside says, look up. Look unto the hills from whence cometh your Redeemer. Your Redeemer is the Lord. There's times in our life where there's not another human being that's there for us or can understand where we're at in life, but God sees us, knows us, and wants to take those burdens off of your life. And the greatest burden that every single person carries is, where am I going to spend eternity? When this life is over, what's going to happen? A lot of people don't want to talk about death. People don't want to talk about what happens. But the wonderful thing is that you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to wonder anymore. God lays out in his word his plan for you. He has that gift for you to receive. And you receive it by faith. This morning we're going to have a baptism because somebody put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And they want to show publicly that they have decided to follow Christ. They want to show publicly that, you know what? I believe that God is able to guide me through this life. God's able to keep my soul and my life. Jesus said, no man can pluck us out of the Father's hand and no man can pluck us out of his hand. Once someone receives the gift of salvation, putting their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you can never lose it. There's no sin you and I can commit to lose that gift of salvation. Now the Bible says, you know, we're not to willingly live in sin. But as a child of God, I am encouraged that, you know what? If I get mad and allow my tongue to say things I shouldn't say, and the Lord decides to take me to heaven at that moment, when I speak that word that I should not have said, I'm not going to hear him say, depart from me. I will be in trouble for what I said. There will be a lack of reward, but he'll never take the gift of salvation away because that's a promise. Again, the Bible reminds us in Romans chapter 10, in verse 13 tells us, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's the Spirit of God that works in us and draws us unto him. This morning, as we celebrate someone who did just that, would you examine yourself this morning and ask yourself, have I ever received the gift of salvation from God? Have I ever taken God at his word? Have I ever put my faith and trust in Christ? If you have, rejoice in that. Don't let the adversary or the accuser of the brethren cause you to be unhappy or cause you to think that God doesn't love you because of something you did, something you said. But this morning, if you can't honestly say that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, could I ask you to really think about what God has spoken to your heart about this morning through his word? And really ask yourself, do I really want to continue life without the God of heaven who knows me, who knew me before I was conceived in my mother's womb, who knew the life I would live, who knew where I would be on this day in my life at this hour. Because the Bible says today is the day of salvation. God gives us all an opportunity to hear and to believe or to reject. Would you honestly consider what God is saying to you?